Let's get this party started.
Welcome to the I Squint Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the I Squint Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Lang. With USITT right around the corner, I contacted a good friend and colleague of mine, Mr. Carl Lefko, the current president of USITT National. Carl and I talked about the goals and mission of USITT and how not only they benefit us, but the industry as well. Carl gave me a rundown of what led him to USITT and his eventual election to the two-year term as president. With Carl's term coming to an end here in USITT in Kansas City, I asked Carl about his goals as president and future plans of the organization. Some pretty enlightening stuff. Well, Carl and I also talked about the 50th anniversary of USITT and what to expect at the conference and show. Let me tell you, KC is going to be crazy. Not only does USITT have some awesome events planned, there's also other events, parties, mixers, and even a gaff tape dress prom. More on that later on the site. So, here is my talk with Mr. Carl Lefko, president of USITT. I'd like to introduce Carl Lefko, current president of USITT, United States Institute for Theater Technology. Carl, thanks for joining me here on the I Squint Podcast.
Well, it's good to be here, Justin.
So let's kick it off. What exactly is USITT?
USITT is a organization that is coming up on its 50th anniversary that is comprised of designers, technicians, engineers, architects, students, manufacturers, from throughout the industry. I mean, it really encompasses all of the entertainment industry in various phases. Coming together once a year for a major conference to exchange ideas and to learn and grow from each other. It also has 10 plus regional student chapters, but regional chapters, where the regional chapters have their own programming. They're sometimes one masterclass a year and sometimes multiple masterclasses a year, but extending it more toward a regional focus. And so we're over 4,000 members. We are joined together by a single bond, our interest in the entertainment world and trying to make it a better place for those of us who work within it.
Oh, fantastic. So with what are the benefits of, say, a student or manufacturer, anybody really joining USITT besides just this camaraderie? What can we get out of USITT?
Well, if you remember, I mentioned exchange of ideas, and that is probably the first and foremost, sharing and exchanging and learning from all facets, from the manufacturers to processes to painting techniques.
Now, is the national convention the only convention that there is? I say that because I've recently been to United States Institute Technology Theater, or USITT Chesapeake, which is in my area.
Now, and that is a regional section, and there are others. The Southeast section has a regional section. California has two. New York State has one. So there are regional sections scattered throughout the United States that are aligned with USITT National. They're aligned with a common interest, many times as cross membership, but they do their own programming, they have their own organizational structure, and most of them have their own charters.
Okay, great.
Now, you asked the question in terms of what are some of the other benefits. You know, I mentioned the exchange of ideas and learning. but it's also a resource for us. Resource in terms of, and this was one of my first connections actually before I even knew what USITT was and was even a member. I, in graduate school, was given the charge of making sugar glass. So my lighting mentor and TD had me call up one of his colleagues at the University of Virginia, and I got the recipe for sugar glass from this individual. Both were very strongly connected through the Southeast section.
Oh, great.
So it just begins there as a student, and we'll get more into that in terms of my first involvement as a student. But it's these connections as resources. The more now when we're needing a rigging install, when we're needing lighting equipment, the Conference and Stage Expo has been a tremendous ground for us to learn equipment, learn what the new products are, what is out there, so that when we had money, we knew where to go, what we wanted, and what we wanted to buy. So I have, over the years, purchased a lot of items just because I had seen it, looked at it on the show floor, and this is from flexible staging, our floor in the studio, lighting instruments, lighting consoles, draperies, knew who I wanted to deal with first, knew who I wanted to have on the contract. So these are very important connections and resources that you don't really get just Googling, just online. Yes, you can find who does what, but it's those personal contacts that I think really add to someone giving you quality service and quality information and knowing you and knowing your needs.
Sure, sure. So it's not only just about, you know, attending sessions, learning more about your craft. It's more about, it's also about taking connect or making those connections, networking, getting to know your peers, right?
Correct.
Excellent.
Correct. I can't tell you how many times I get, I am contacted. Do you know somebody who either does this or do you know somebody that can do this for me? So it's both. It's, you know, I have individuals coming to me asking if I have a student who's graduating who's ready to do this, as well as my going to people, do you know where I can find information on this, or I want to do this, how do I accomplish it? Those connections that we've made through USITT have just been invaluable, and not having to recreate the wheel every time. We're doing the musical Baby now, and the bed has to move all over the stage, and we're doing it slightly differently than I'm sure some have done, but a lot of productions have had two people under the bed, and so it's been strictly people powered. Well, we know someone who actually rigged it for a touring production where it toured, and so we contacted them just to get information on how that actually occurred, and that contact was made through USITT, and just knowing this person, knowing that they had actually built this particular piece of furniture for that purpose.
Well, great. So you mentioned this a little bit earlier. So how did you get your start in USITT, and how's it been valuable to you?
Well, my very first start was, again, when I was in graduate school, and my lighting designer, Bob Thurston, told each of us in our lighting class that we had to give him $20. and on that Friday, we were going on a field trip. He had a van, and we went from Greensboro to Wake Forest University to the very first Southeast, what I've learned since, the very first Southeast Masterclass in 1977. So I had no clue what USITT was, what it stood for, much less the Southeast section. Zero clue, but it was the very first time I saw MIG welding. Saw a wonderful session on scene painting, and saw a brand new theater that had flexible seating that actually could move to change from arena to thrust to proscenium, etc., on track. So it was really a great experience for someone who was in their first year of graduate school. So that was my first exposure to USITT.
Well, great.
As a graduate student.
Now, you've mentioned, of course, some of the benefits of what USITD does. Mm-hmm. Can you give any other specifics? I know you mentioned the turntable for, I'm sorry, what production was it again?
Now
that you're working on currently.
The production we're working on currently is The Musical Baby, and that's the rolling bed that moves to various places throughout the set, okay, throughout the show, much like the layer moves across the stage and all around in Phantom.
Oh, okay.
But the beds, it has to move to three different houses, and it probably is going to end up in six or eight different places. It's going to have to spin one time, so it's got a lot of movement. And since the show is about having babies, the bed is a central piece.
Sure, sure. So not only have you been in a member of USITT since graduate school, if I might ask, how long has that been now?
Let's just say 30 plus years.
30 plus years. Okay.
Okay. And I haven't been consistently a member. My first introduction was in graduate school. Then after graduating, getting a job, my first job at RAF University, once I had been here a couple of years and was attending the Southeast Theater Conference, a colleague of mine said, "Hey, there's a USITT Southeast meeting. Why don't you come with me?" So I went with him. And very shortly after that, I started going to the regional master classes, taking my students then to the master classes. So I was a member of the Southeast section, then eventually became an officer in the Southeast section, eventually became section chair. So that produced and required involvement then on a national level, attending the national conference, mm-hmm, as the representative from the Southeast section. Then during all of my involvement with the section, we were at a Southeast masterclass in Charlottesville, and Dick Durst came to the section and said, "Hey, we're going to have a national conference in Nashville. I need a conference committee." So he was looking for volunteers. So Monica and I volunteered to be co-logistics chairs. So that was really not the beginning, because my first involvement was as section chair with national, being on subnational committees at that time. But it was my first heavy involvement with a national activity, and especially the conference. And eventually that led to further involvement. The regional conference committee turned into a national conference committee, of which I eventually got into and became a part of as programming coordinator. Eventually, that led to becoming vice president for programming. And after 6 years as vice president for programming, I ran for president and became president of USITT from that point.
Now, first, congratulations. And we're coming up on your end of 2 years, right?
Correct.
So talking about your presidency here, your two-year term, what were some of your short-term goals with being the president of USITT?
One has been to try to demystify the organizational structure of USITT, making it more transparent, which is a constant challenge. As large as we are with as many activities, I've mentioned regional and national, but we're all also very active in an international level with OISTAT, representatives on the OISTAT, which is, in essence, a national USITT. It's not. It's just colleagues, designers from throughout the world are members of OISTAT, mm-hmm, which have a similar purpose as USITT nationally.
Okay.
So there's so many arms to USITT, so many various interests that we have, that it's hard to, for one or just a few people, to know what's going on, know the breadth of all of this that we're trying to do. And I remember early on so many conversations about national, what are they doing, or they don't care about the sections. And, you know, there was a lot of mistrust, and has been. I'm not saying that it has ceased. because it still does exist because we're so large and so diversified. But one of my goals has been to try to demystify it as much as possible, try to be transparent in what we're doing. The other portion has been a continuation. Sylvia Hilliard-Pinnell preceded me as president, and she and I have been friends and worked on the national conference, have been friends for almost 30 years through SETC as well as USITT. And she started with her presidency with an organizational assessment. We went outside, assessed, brought a group in to help us look at ourselves, hold a mirror up, see what we were, try to figure out what we were, try to figure out where we wanted to go, and begin to make plans for turning 50 and seeing if we needed to change any of the ways that we did business. So that led into the MAC report, which was really ourselves, our constituency, our members, talking about who we were, reflecting, as well as some outside groups, what opinions were, and then from some of those, coming up with, okay, if we're going to address some of these issues that we've identified or challenges for us, then we need to start planning for that. We've gotten to a point where we're so large that we have an office staff, but we don't have a face that's an outward face to parallel organizations, national organizations. We don't have, I mean, I've got a full-time job. USITT has a second full-time job. But we don't have anybody that can go out, go to AFA, go to TCG, go to these other conferences and groups, meet with these people, try to find common ground, trying to bring in larger constituencies and finding these parallel grounds. We have a very good relationship with ESTA, so that is working. But there's so many other the opera group to the LORT group. There's so many different constituencies that we could have a stronger relationship with. An executive director could help us with that, help be that face of USITT, help be that voice of USITT that those of us with a full-time job just can't do. So we've gotten to the point also where it's hard for a volunteer in a major leadership role to truly do all of what's required to make sure that we don't have a misstep along the way in some of our planning, conference planning, and some of our other activities. So one of the things we identified, we are probably the largest nonprofit organization without an executive director. So it's amazing that we've done and accomplished. We're very healthy physically, but we could benefit and be even more healthy, I feel, if we have someone helping the volunteers, helping the leadership move initiatives forward, and letting the leadership do more long-range planning and assessment.
So is this something that USITT is currently trying to fill, or
from as soon? Yes, we're in the middle of an executive director search currently. That's been ongoing since March of last year. The last board meeting, the board voted to initiate a search for an executive director. So there's a committee working on that. At the same time, we have been, you know, that all of us trained in theater are doers. We're very good at doing. We're very good. You give us a task, and we're good at accomplishing that. We're good at producing the conference because it's task-driven. What we're not necessarily good at is long-range planning and assessment. Part of it is because it takes all of the volunteers' plan to do the doing. So we're structured, and part of our strength for 50 years has been in the volunteers being good at organizing and the volunteers being successful at that. But that has meant that we're an operational entity. So one of the things that we, in our assessment, felt like we could advance further if we were able to assess what we do and have better long-range planning. That shifts to more of a governance structure than an operational structure. So the second part of what I've been trying to do is, and the board voted last March, to move toward a governance structure. But that we tried to initially do this very quickly, and we've realized it's got to be a much slower process. You do something roughly for 50 years, and it's hard to make radical changes that quickly. And we're a very conservative group. We don't make decisions quickly, mm-hmm. and we don't act quickly currently. Have a very large board that we're trying to reduce its size to be a little bit more efficient and nimble, but still have the representation of the volunteers that's necessary. Our strength is from the volunteers, and we don't want to lose that. So our challenge is to maintain that strength and find a way to change the organizational work so that we can be better at long-range planning and assessment.
So does this mean that USITT is going to be moving away from an executive committee, a vice president, and the directors at large to somebody that oversees the entire thing, like the executive manager?
There will always be a board. There will always be some vice presidents. There will always be a president. But it's adding to that mix an executive director hopefully can provide some through line that's working with the office staff, the volunteers, okay. and the board to help provide some consistency and through line with those activities. But instead of the board having to do all the doing, a mixture between doing and beginning to long range plan and assess. And very governance boards are not new. They're probably 30 plus years old now, especially with non-for-profits, but they're also in the corporate world. But it is a different model than an operational model where you're strictly doing. And we've grown up as doers and developed as doers because that's what we do. That's what we do in our daily lives. And we're damn good at it. So you don't want to lose that, but you also have to be careful because you also always have people who get swamped in their jobs and then can't have necessarily the focus they need at critical times on USITT. USITT is not a small entity.
Not at all.
I mean, it's a multi-million dollar entity right now. So there's a lot of money that goes in and out, and it's very important that we remain financial stewards of the money and invest wisely in ourselves and our projects.
So speaking of money, where else, what other projects, what other things is USITT using that money for?
Oh, there's so many different arms from the commissions use the money for commission projects. Some of these are research projects. Some of these are to help support programming of the conference. There is grants and foundations that actually distribute grants to individuals from a variety of sources. We had someone who was doing research on LEDs probably 8-10 years ago. There was an article written on TDNT, and you see where that was when LEDs were in their infancy. Mm-hmm. And you see where they are today. And in a very, very short time, they have really, it may have been 10 years ago in the article. Time flies quickly. That's all I can say. But LEDs are relatively new entity to lighting, both commercial as well as theater. You know, we've seen them in, you know, small places. And I guess theatrically, one of the first major entities was some of the star drop uses mm-hmm. of LEDs. But now we're seeing them as a green fixture that's very viable. Mm-hmm. And I just learned last month that a guy I went to high school with is doing research at a university in Kentucky and is very involved in and supposedly coming out very soon is an LED household lamp to replace our, currently green fluorescents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the big push right now is right. in the commercial market,
correct.
Whatever you want, for the LED replacement lamps.
Right. So it's just you know, we knew this was going to happen, just had no idea what the time frame for all of this happening was. And see, in a way, USITT was a part of that innovation in supporting that grant. So that was another place for money that we've supported research in the industry. Another is working on now major efforts in mounting the Prague 2011 quadrennial exhibit. So there's a large group working on that. The conference is probably the biggest thing we work on year round.
Well, yeah, there's a ton of sessions, workshops, and of course the stage expo to put on.
Correct. So if you've got a project, there are places to go to solicit funding or to
grow the actually, idea.
Right. And it's limitless, really. Nothing is off limits. I mean, a couple years ago, somebody had an idea to host a World Stage Design. We did that in Toronto and hosted the very first World Stage Design, a little different from the PQ experience. So another place where we do put a lot of money is on publications. There has been traditionally very little written on designers and design. And so several years ago, we started the monograph series featuring designers in all areas. So we featured sound designer, lighting designer, costume designer, scene designers now. And for the 50th, we'll be coming out with the late great books. These are designers that were not with us, which is one of the criteria for our current monograms. So this will be a book related to major significant designers in the United States who had already passed away when we started this project. So publishing these, distributing these, getting these in the library, getting these into the schools has been another major effort. And then another book that is coming out is the history of USITT that Rick Stevens is working on. And it should be coming out, I think, if he keeps on schedule, 2011.
Okay.
It's just been a larger project than he had thought it would be. So 50 years of history is a good bit to work on.
Exactly.
So those are a few. There are more, for sure. I mean, there are projects that help fund students. There are, you know, design projects that people work on. We support a number of different awards and help facilitate different awards. There's the Rising Star Award that is co-sponsored with Live Design. So the list goes on.
So in a little bit of time here, a couple weeks, is the actual Stage Expo in Kansas City. Like you've been saying, it's the 50th anniversary. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the things that's going to be making this one extra special since it's 50 years now?
Sure. It will have two components. We will be looking at our past and we'll be looking at our future. We've shaken up the matrix, and each day we'll start off with what we're calling a blockbuster speaker. And Sally Struthers will kick it off on Wednesday. And
now,
even though she's not a designer and technician, we often, with our keynotes, have someone who is connected with the industry talk about their relationship with us, the industry, the state of the industry, et cetera. And she will bring a unique perspective as an actress who's very, we think of her major, mainly television and film, but she has a lot of and regular theatrical experience. She works almost every summer in a summer stock environment, just toured a production of Done Since that she, I think it was like a 2 month, maybe even a 3 month national tour of Done Since that was just grueling. So she's got a plethora of stories for us.
So I'm looking at the schedule here. I see Sally Struthers on 9:15 on the 31st, Wednesday the 31st, like you said. And then honoring Oscar Brockett on the 1st.
He's actually co-authoring a book on the history of design. So everybody knows him in his book on theater, books on theater history. Mm-hmm. But this will be one of the first probably major books on the volume of the history of design, as opposed to the history of design in America or in Britain or a section. And it really much more in line with his theater history book. So we're excited to hear from him and his co-authors, as well as have this book come out and be available to us.
And that's Making a Scene, A History of Stage Design and Technology in Europe and the United States.
Correct. Yes.
Excellent. Now, one last one that I want, that I'm pretty excited about because I am attending the conference. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Tipton on Friday.
Yes.
What is she going to be talking about?
She's going to be talking about her experience in lighting, in all areas from lighting, ballet, dance, opera, as well as theater, and just the state of lighting, where we've come from, where we are, and everybody will be looking as well at the future.
Okay.
And we'll kind of cap that on Saturday with Francois Leroux, mm-hmm. He started off as a sound designer, actually toured as a sound designer with a rock group, I believe, and ended up at Disney, has worked up the ladder, and is now a major, been in a major vice president position with the Disney Corporation. And Disney was a group that we've had connections, especially the last several years with Disney, but Disney has always been looking forward. Mm-hmm. You know, they've always, they're 75 years old now.
Yeah. I don't know the exact
date. Close. I mean, they've been around longer than we have, mm-hmm. but their success is because they've always looked forward.
Yeah, what they're always, imagining new things.
Right. What is going to be the hot entertainment need in 5, 10, 15 years? So it's their forward thinking. So Francois is going to talk about that in our industry and what we as artists in our industry need to be getting ready for in terms of the future. So we're kind of ending with that futuristic idea on Saturday. And then capping all this with a party on Saturday night, not a banquet, and a champagne toast.
The anniversary party, sweet.
Correct.
Something else that I was looking through was the Broadway seminars.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Billington and Natasha Katz are coming in?
Yes.
Now, that, of course, is not – that's a part of the – that's an additional for members and participants. It's not included in
– It's not included in the regular conference. We do pre-conference events that are seminars. They are usually hands-on workshops, more like a master class situation where it's a smaller group doing training or doing a session for like 8 hours instead of an hour and a half or three hours. It's usually all day and sometimes 2 days. Mm-hmm. And I think the Broadway master classes are actually 2 days.
Yep.
So it's a takeoff on the Broadway masterclasses that were offered in New York, and so it's Broadway in Kansas City, and bringing New York to Kansas City.
Fantastic! Sounds like there's a lot of great things planned for the 50th anniversary of USITT.
Well, I think so. I think it's going to be the place to be for anybody that is in this line of work, and I can't think of a better place to be in Kansas City for the 50th.
Sure. So being the president, I'm sure you know pretty much all the workshops and stuff on there. What are some of the ones that you're looking at attending here?
Let me tell you something. This is a little secret. As soon as you get involved in the leadership, you don't have time to attend anything. When I was just a regular attendee going to conferences and going to sessions and really enjoying the conference, I would always take one day for myself and do the city. I'd go to the museums, go to see a show, but I would do the city. I did this in Boston, did this in Calgary. But as soon as you get involved in leadership, you're in meetings, you're in sessions you have to go to, and there is just no time to enjoy the conference. So I'm going to enjoy, we'll say, retirement from leadership.
So next year.
It's not yet. Well, I'll still be immediate past president and have responsibilities. But in another 2 years, things will begin to drop off, and I'll have a much better chance of becoming a normal USITT member and really reaping the benefits that I'm talking about right now.
Fantastic. So your term ends here at the 50th anniversary, correct?
Correct.
And I'm looking here, and it's Mr. Joe Aldridge, who's the president-elect.
Correct.
I'm assuming you two have been in constant communication, you know, getting ready to hand off the baton here.
We're gonna actually hand the gavel. We're gonna start off with and do a president. Past president passing of the gavel through to Joe as the upcoming incoming president. So that will be happening at the Fellows on Thursday evening. But yes, Joe and I go way back. We've been on the conference committee well over 10 years. He actually was a major part of the Las Vegas conference, which I think was 2 years after Nashville. Then he became a member of the conference committee, and I became a member of the conference, the national conference committee that was formed after Pittsburgh. And so we've known each other quite some time and have a common interest in good hot food and hot sauces. We both like our hot peppers.
I remember this. Well, Carl, thank you so much for your time being here on the podcast with me. It's been quite illuminating, as we'll say.
Good. Well, it's been a joy to be here, Justin, and thank you for inviting me. And I look forward to seeing you and many others in Kansas City. And definitely. Good barbecue.
Definitely. Once again, thanks, Carl, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Take care, Justin.
Thanks again to Carl Lefko for taking his time out of his busy schedule for doing the podcast with me. So to recap, the USITT Conference and Stage Expo open on Wednesday, March 31st, and goes till Friday, April 2nd. Mark your calendars, book your flights and hotel, because I'll see you in KC. Thanks for listening to this, the iSquint Podcast. It's time to party, let's party.